2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Scott Mitchell and Alex Curry. Welcome back. We appreciate you joining in. We love your patronage. You guys are absolutely amazing.
Don't patronize the patrons. Oh, you're the best.
No, I love that people tune into our show.
Pretty fun.
It's a fun thing. Yes.
I've got something I got to bring up. You want to bring something up, though?
Oh, go ahead if you got something.
Well, no, here's the thing is I was like, this is a little off-piste here. And it's because, I mean, we have our NFL segment coming up, our NFL roundup is coming up, but This is like a little, this is separate from that, but it's an NFL theme, it has to do with the Raiders. And I was thinking about, you know, what this week is like for these players, you know? And I was wondering, and this is where I want to dive into, you know, kind of get your vibe on it, because
okay.
I listened to Mike Mayock do his press conference. He's the general manager of the Raiders.
Right.
And, close with Gruden, by the way. Like,
yeah.
And so that's a tough thing because he's having to march forward. And I think he's putting on, you know, the good soldier face, you know. I think it's been difficult. I mean, obviously Mark Davis is having a hard time with it too. I mean, he kind of it took a couple swipes at the NFL. And I think the questions that they're asking are, or the things that they're saying about the NFL, they're not without merit. I mean, like, if you're Mark Davis, you go, okay, so John Gruden got snowed under, his career got obliterated by these leaked emails, but nothing else was coming out of this Washington football team investigation. And so he's kind of going, hey, so when are we going to find out other things? Because obviously it's not just John Gruden, or was this just, you know, going after John Gruden? But I thought about it from the player's perspective. I wanted to know what they're doing. And so when I listened to the press conference, I was like, I'm going to have Scott listen to what Mike Mayock had to say about what they're doing as a team going forward. And this is what he said in his press conference. And I just thought, man, this is going to be super hard for these guys to be able to pull this off. Here's what he said, though.
As far as the team is concerned, bottom line, we're 3-2. It's week 6. You know, a lot of these interim head coach deals over the years, it's like week 15 and guys are already packing their bags. That's not the case here. All of our goals are ahead of us. 3-2, one game out of the AFC lead. The focus has got to be on Denver. Rich Bisaccia, interim head coach. Look, I've known this guy for a lot of years, and I hope you get to meet him a little bit and see what a special person he is. Since he's a special teams coach, he's involved with more players on the team than any other coach in our building. He's involved with the offensive guys. He's involved with the defensive guys. The irony is I've endorsed him for a lot of head coaching jobs over the years, both in college and the NFL, back when I had a different job. He's got as much respect in the locker room, in our locker room, as any coach I've ever seen in my life.
So I was thinking about what the team is having to deal with this, because they do.
I've gone through this before.
They're in the middle of something, right? It's one of their better starts that they've had, and then this gets dropped in their lap. And I just that was my thought was, is have you had something like this? Because it made me think about what we were talking about with Devin Kaufusi last night during the Players Club, where it's like, hey, you guys have gone through this awful thing, and they're totally different, but they're both.
They're very different.
Very different. That's what I'm saying.
It's not the same thing.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, in the case of the Aaron Lowe deal, the team has come together and has become something stronger and bigger and better than they were before. And in this case, it's just like, I don't even know if you can do something like that, or can you?
Yeah, I think you can come back from it. There have been times when coaches have come in an interim situation. I was with the Cincinnati Bengals and Bruce Coslett my first year. After three games, just quit. He just goes, I've had it with this. I don't want to do this. And you could sense from him in training camp that he just wasn't really into it. Like, there was just something off. I mean, it was just really strange. Dick LeBeau took over, who's a long time NFL assistant, well respected, is in the Hall of Fame as a coach, as a player. He was great. I mean, he was a great coach. So I think there's a lot of validity to, if you have a really good coach, you have someone that's, you know, pretty acceptable in that regard, then I think you're going to be okay. But if you have someone that's, you know, really kind of what's going on at USC. I mean, that USC is just a train wreck, because there's the potential with the Raiders that this could be their next head coach. And when you have a team like the Raiders, who feel like they're in it. I mean, Kansas City is kind of giving everyone else a shot at the AFC West. And so yeah, he's absolutely right. And that's all you want as a player. If you know that you're in it and you know you've got a shot to win, guys try harder. They just do. I don't care what anyone says. They really believe that. And I think he's really – it's a great message, and it's well-spoken. I mean, he really laid it out very nicely, actually. But it really is a team with a whole lot of football left, and you do not want to go in the tank. You just don't early on in the season. I mean, five games into the season, and you have most of your season left. They'll probably figure it out, but they'll only figure it out if the coach they have is legitimate. Now, he's a special teams coach. I've never heard of a special teams coach that all of a sudden jumps to be the head coach. I mean, that's a bit unusual. And why it's a little bit unusual is special teams isn't. You know, it's not like an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator. That's typically the person. A special team, you know, no offense.
So he sort of oversells Bisaccia on saying.
Probably.
On saying, oh, look, he has his hand in more people on this team than anybody. I get it, because you're working with a lot of guys.
But those are more backups.
Right. That is for sure.
I mean, that's who most of the special teams guys are. So, you know, whatever. Usually a coordinator has more of the room. Dick LeBeau and in my situation was a defensive coordinator, and you know, so you need someone who has that strong personality and that can give the team some direction. I mean, shoot, Mike Mayock did a great job of doing that, and hopefully that's what's happening in the locker room, because I'm telling you, it's a miserable existence to have most of your season go by
just thrown away
and it's over. Yeah. You know,
and that's us. I was wondering about when he was saying all this stuff. I mean, one, he's got to act like it's the best guy I've ever. Like, if we had to make a move like this, this is the only man I'd want to lead this team, man. And this team, they know they're 3-2, and they've got things to do. They're one game out of this AFC West battle. And, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but there was part of me too that went, yeah, but there's also, I mean, I think that people wouldn't fault the Raiders and the organization for being like, yeah, we got to throw this year away again. It's another year where the Raiders have just something weird go on, and they're just and so there is that attitude of a little bit of a throwaway year. I think from the outside looking in, for me, I think yeah, they pack it in a little bit. I mean, you're not going to be totally and if the excuse is already there, somebody will find it and go, yeah, we're barely kind of hanging on here. We don't even have a head coach here.
I think the Raiders are better this year. You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, haven't been great, but this is a team that, you know, I think will compete. I don't know that they're the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know that they're the Chargers, but they still have a shot. They got a shot to make the playoffs, and you know, we'll see. The coach, though, is the one that's really going to be the question. Is he a guy that can command the locker room and really get these guys playing?
Let's take the break. We'll come back. We have more to talk about with the NFL. I just wanted to go pretty heavy on that Raiders topic itself to see if this is a total waste of a season for these guys or if there's some way of salvaging this, if people can be on board. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. NFL Roundup next, then the two-minute drill after that. So stay with us right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.